My name is Pastor Stuart Dugan, and I am delighted to be able to bring God's word and God's message to you today. You don't know me, but I know you, at least in a little part, that my son Tim and his wife Stephanie and their son Paul are very active here. And so when we have come to visit over the years, we've come and worshiped with them, and we've usually sat back there. So I've been here with you. And then periodically, my wife and I, since we've lived in Washington State, would turn on Facebook and watch your services live stream. So even though you don't know me, I have a sense of knowing you. And I asked to be able to preach here in the sanctuary, one, just to give you a sense of familiarity, and for me to help you visualize and feel your presence here. A special shout out to Rebecca for setting this all up. I'm here today because of Pastor Kate's father passing away, and we continue to surround her with our love and affection. Evelyn, my wife and I retired in the spring and moved here. We now live in Concord, and to be closer to Tim and his family and our other son, Matt, his wife, Christy, and their delightful daughters, Claudia and Clara. But we're glad to be here and to become a part of your community. And again, I am glad to be able to bring the good news of Jesus Christ. If these past few weeks have been anything for you as they've been for me with all the election and stuff, it's just been crazy. And personally, I'd hope that after the election, we'd be able to get back on track, but it appears that even that's gonna take longer than expected. But the good news is that no matter what happens, and I'm recording this on Friday morning, so things might change again between now and Sunday, that no matter what happens, the truth of Jesus Christ stays the same. That he's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And no matter what we go through, we can count on his presence with us. So I'm going to be reading the scripture passage in just a few minutes, but I want to open up with prayer. God, we thank you so much for the chance that we have to know you, to be known by you. Lord, we pray too that you know each one of us. You know where we're sitting when we watch this video. You know what we're facing. You know what we're going through. And God, we thank you that you love us and you walk with us every step of the way. But I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would be present here, and that each one of us would hear the words that you once said. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So the theme of this series, of talking to Pastor Kate, is on journeying with Jesus. And I love that phrase because so often we tend to think that our faith is just a one and done. I get baptized, I'm committed to Christ, and good to go. But the fact of the matter is, it really is a day-to-day walk. That through the good days, as well as the tough ones, that through the times when we are walking hand in hand close to Jesus and the times when we have wandered far, far away, it is this journey of faith that leads us to maturity in him. And so in this series, we're wanting you to visualize being with Jesus in your own faith journey. So the series began in the Sea of Galilee and the storm that took place out there. And I've been on the Sea of Galilee when one of these freak storms blew in. And trust me, they are nothing to sneeze at. But as we learned in this story, that when Jesus is with us in the boat, when we go through our own storms, that we can have that confidence and that peace to weather no matter what comes our way. Last week, Cedric took us with Jesus out into the wilderness, where Jesus was tempted by the devil, tempted by Satan, and tempted with his own humanity. And likewise, we have our wilderness times. And because we are human, we deal with our own temptations. And to allow the grace of God to be present with you and we with others, and to find the strength to get through those temptations through the Word of God, just as Jesus did. For today, we're going to journey with Jesus down to Judea. Judea is in the southern part of Israel. And now in Gospels, in Matthew's Gospel, at chapter 20, that Jesus has been teaching, he's been healing, he's been traveling, he's been talking with people as he walks along the road, he's been meeting with them in their homes, he's been having coffee with them in Starbucks. In pre-COVID, he could do that. I think if he was doing this today, he'd have us all on a Zoom meeting. But Jesus is with his people, he's talking. And his favorite subject of what he wants us to know, what's most important for us to know, is what the kingdom of God is like, what the kingdom of heaven is like. That we live in all of this, but the kingdom of God has a different set of priorities. And so when we pray in the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So this is what he wants it to look like. And when we look at Jesus, we see it most perfectly. So the closer we walk in step with Christ, the closer we walk in step with the kingdom of God on earth. So for today, have you ever noticed that life is not fair? Of course you have. We all know that. Even as little children, you don't have to teach them that. That they know intrinsically when someone else is not being fair. And as we grow up, we see that continue, and it really shows its ugly head when it comes to deal with situations of social justice. And I think sometimes our conversations might be more productive if we just couch them in the terms of what's fair for everybody, because we understand that language. We understand what it means to be fair. Some people seem to get breaks that they don't deserve. Other people seem to get broken by no fault of their own. And life isn't fair. We know that. But here's the part you might not like, that God's not fair either. You're probably not going to like this morning's scripture reading, but if you listen carefully by the end, I think you will love it. Jesus' favorite method of teaching was through parables. He didn't hand out worksheets. He didn't give lists to memorize. He didn't give a test that they have to score 70% above or above to pass. Jesus told stories. He told parables. And a parable is taking a physical story of something that we can relate to help us understand the spiritual reality, those things that are beyond our physical touch. And so he would take things that they knew very well. And some of the more famous parables are the parable of the Good Samaritan, or the parable of the prodigal son, or the parable of the wise and the foolish builders who built his house on a rock or on the sand. Well, today I want to go to one of the parables that's not as well known. It doesn't have a catchy name. We don't hear about it very often. And I think that it's because it makes us uncomfortable. Frankly, we don't like it. If you would turn with me in whatever version of the Bible that you have and follow along, I'm going to be reading from Matthew 20, verses 1 through 16. Let's hear the word of God. This is Jesus speaking. Picture yourself sitting just within reach, you are listening to his words as he speaks to us and as he speaks to you. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them out into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right. So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around. And he said to them, why are you standing here idle all day? And they said to him, because no one has hired us. So he said to them, you also go into the vineyard. And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first. When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, these last worked only 1 hour, And you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat. But he replied to one of them, Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do that? Do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. What sort of feelings did you have as you were listening to that? Who in this story did you identify with? The one who worked hard all day, or the one who just joined in right at the end? If you were here today, I would ask you to raise your hands. But can you identify with those that were hired first, who got up and they worked their 12-hour shift, and it was hot and it was hard? And then at the end, you come and you see those that are coming in late and they get paid the same that you do? I mean, that's not fair. That's not right. And Jesus, you're trying to tell me that the kingdom of God is like that? It just doesn't seem fair. It doesn't seem right. And Jesus' response seems out of character too. He didn't say, oh, Stu, that's okay. I understand. It'll be better. Basically, he said, get over it. He said, it's the master's money. Cannot he do with it as he wishes? And then this phrase, are you envious because he is generous? Are you envious because God is generous? The key message for us to learn and to remember is that God gives us what we need, not what we deserve. So here's the setting that they all would have understood. All would have understood. That if you were a servant, you were owned by your master, and they made sure that you both had work to do, but also that you had your housing and your food taken care of. But if you were a day laborer, you did not have that security. You needed work in order to pay for the food for your family. No work, no pay, no food. And you're responsible for your family, for your kids that are growing up, for your spouse, for your parents that are also living in the house with you, any other extended family members. You have to work because they must eat. And so every morning, bright early in the morning, they get up and they would go to the marketplace or to the city gates. And they would wait for the people out in the fields to come in and say, hey, I need three more people here. I need five here. I need one more here. And they would go out and work. And that's how it's set up. And so everything's good. And so you'd go and you would hope and pray that someone would pick you up for the day. So in this parable, the owner comes at 9 in the morning. He takes the crew off. Six in the morning, comes back 3 hours later at 9, does again at 12, does again at 3. Now remember, this is a parable. And it's not about business practices, it's about our spiritual life. And we're to focus not on the story being told, but on the lesson being taught. And so they all go, and at 5 o'clock he comes back, and there's still men standing there. And he says, why are you still here? And they say, well, it's because no one has hired us yet. It's not that they're being lazy. They need work. And 1 hour's of pay is better than none. They were desperate for work. If they'd been lazy, they would have gone a long time ago. So the landowner recognized that they needed a day's wage in order to pay for their family's food. So by the end of the day, now it's 6 o'clock, they all gather up, they come to get their paycheck. And Jesus said, okay, we're gonna start with those who were hired first. Why that? Because I think that if hired last, because those who were hired first, they'd take their money and they'd leave and the point of the story would be lost. So it takes and those who are hired with 1 hour's work. And they came and they received a denarius, the amount for one day's wage. A denarius? A day's wage for 1 hour's work? That's cool. And so they got to hang around and see what else is going to happen. And so then the next group, those who had worked 3 hours, they came. And they got a full day's wage. Wow. I mean, that's the kind of job I love. And then the next, and the next. Well, you can imagine that group that were hired first, those that have been out there all day. Now they are talking among themselves and saying, what is going on? If the landowner is giving them one denarius for 1 hour's work and we've worked 12, whoo, this is going to be great. I can buy a luxury donkey. This is wonderful. And so it goes down the line and each gets the day's wage. And they come and those who worked a full day's wage, full day's hours, received a full day's wage. One denarius. Well, they were furious. I would be too. But again, God gives us not what we deserve, but what we need. What they deserved was to be paid for the hours that they worked. What they needed was food for the family. If God was fair, in the way that we understand fairness, then we would get what we deserve. So just try to picture this. I'm just playing this in my head. So you go before Jesus and he says, okay, we're talking about your salvation here. He pulls out his iPhone, he opens up his salvation calculator and says, okay, how old are you? And I'll just say 50, makes my math easy. Some of you older, some less. So 50 years old, okay. How long have you been a Christian? Well, I was baptized and came to faith when I was 15. Great. So you've been a Christian 70% of your life. Yeah. How have you been during that 70%? Have you been a perfect Christian? No. Did you always tell the truth? No. Were you always generous? Were you always quick to forgive? Did you ever gossip? Ooh. Okay, well, I give you the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to say to you that you are a perfect Christian 75% of the time. Ding. Comes out, your salvation score, if we're fair, is 52.5%. Now, in order to get God's, for God, 52.5% of God's love. 52.5% of your sins forgiven. 52.5% of God's attention and time. And now, I'm just being fair. Just being fair. 52.5% of heaven and what that all offers. Those who became Christians earlier get more. Those who became Christians later get less. That's fair. Now imagine that you are 85 years old and you passed away and now you're walking into those pearly gates. St. Peter checks you in. You go before Jesus. He whips out that calculator again and says, okay, you're 85 years old? Yes. When did you become a Christian? 10 days ago. 10 days. Your salvation score, I'm sorry to say, is 0.00032%. Where's the good news in that? See, God does not give us what we deserve. God gives us what we need. And what we need is God's forgiveness. What we need is God's grace. What we need is God's Holy Spirit power. And even in the Psalms, in Psalm 103, it says it clearly. It says, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. God will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. God does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who love him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions, our sins from us. Thank God that God's not fair, because we'd all be sunk. None of us deserve salvation. None of us deserve what God gives us. It is only by His grace, it is only by the love and the mercy of Jesus Christ on the cross that enables us to even begin to experience His love and mercy. We deserve death because of our sin, but we receive eternal life because of Jesus. And Jesus' parables show us just how dramatically different our world's value system is from heaven's and God's value system. And each and every morning when we wake up, we have to choose which set of values we are going to follow, which ones that we are going to pursue. Because the temptation for us, and we saw this so much in our election, the temptation is to learn to fear those people who are different and to become callous to those whose lives are in need. But God's word teaches us to not let fear dictate us, but that perfect love casts out fear. And God's word teaches us, and Jesus demonstrated to us, that we are to have compassion on those whose lives are more difficult than yours and mine. Our temptation is to live with a me-first attitude. That's kind of how we're built. Do what's best for me, vote what's best for me, and I don't care about anybody else. But Jesus teaches us to put others first. And that's when we look around at the world to see those in need and to have compassion on them. Our sinful nature causes us to be selfish, and we just are. But the Holy Spirit enables us to be generous. Our culture rewards self-aggrandizement. God rewards self-sacrifice. And we see again all these differences so played out so clearly in Jesus. And so in this series where we are journeying with Jesus, it's not just where we go, but it's who we become. And the more that we walk in the footsteps with Jesus, the more that we listen to His word, the more godly God's presence comes into us, the more compassionate and the more generous we become as well. Life isn't fair. And sometimes we come out on the short end of the stick and you work hard and someone else gets the credit. But life isn't fair in that sometimes we don't deserve what we get. And with God, we don't deserve, but we receive His love. We receive love when we're being total jerks. We receive opportunities and open doors even when we don't recognize them or we don't give thanks. We receive forgiveness even when the debt is too great to be paid. Jesus ended with this question: are you envious because God is generous? Are you envious and get bitter because God blesses other people? Remember, God gives us not what we deserve, but what we need. And what we need is His presence. What we need is His salvation. Thank God that God's not fair. Thank God that God is compassionate on us, and on you and me, when we are in need, when we are strayed off the path, when we have stumbled, when we have screwed up. Thank God that God is not fair and He is generous with us, even when we don't deserve it, even when we don't give thanks for it. He's generous with His love, with His patience, with His grace, with His time, with His blessings. It doesn't matter who you are, where you've been, or what you've done, but God is compassionate and gracious and generous with you. And as God's people, that's how we are to live. That when we are compassionate with others, when we are generous with others, That's a little bit of God's Spirit flowing through you to someone else. So just close with this question. In the week to come, who will you encounter? And it could be in your own home, could be at the grocery store, it could be out on the road, it could be, oh, my mask is over there, whatever. When you are compassionate to those in need and patient and kind, when you are generous with those and they may need generosity of your help, generosity of your patience, when you are patient and kind, they experience God's love through you. Who will need that from you this week? Let us pray. God, we do thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace. We thank you that in this world that can just seem like it goes off the rails, that we can find our strength and our purpose and our direction in you. Lord, again, you know what each one of us are going through right now. You know what each one of us will be facing this week. You alone know the temptations we will face and the struggles we will have to overcome. So God, I pray that you would be with each one of us in our own hearts, our minds, our work, our homes. God, that we would experience and give thanks to your compassion on us, your generosity with us, and that in turn we would be compassionate and generous as well. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Now, if you're in worship, we would probably end with a song, but we're not. So as you go into the world this day, as you watch whatever else is on your TV, as you go wherever you're allowed to go, and stay safe as you do, may the love of God, the peace of Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Go in peace.